welcome to the Atlas Leadership Podcast. I'm Angela Schlottman.
And I'm David Johnson. Our goal is to connect you each week with other experienced leaders who share a passion to see our communities thrive.
So as you navigate these times of disruption, we hope that our time together will inspire and inform you for your journey ahead.
Well, Angela, we are super excited to have Michael Tarwater joining us with the Atlas Leadership Podcast today. And he has tons of experience, particularly around leadership and just leading boards these days, which is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, he has a great amount of experience in Charlotte, but just even all across the country. So right now he's serving as the Board of Trustees for Queen's University. He's serving as a senior advisor and a board member for the Leon Levine Foundation. And one of the biggest things he did with his career was serving as the president and CEO for Carolina's Healthcare, now known as Atrium, for 14 years. So he's had a wealth of experience. And Michael, just we're so glad to have you join us here today.
I'm glad to be here.
So, Michael, I know you and I first had the pleasure of meeting about 4 years ago. At that time, you know, the organization I was with, we were looking at doing some equipping for nonprofits. We just saw some gaps in leadership across our community. And through a friend, your name came up and you were gracious enough to have lunch with us, I think, that day. And we just started talking about organizations and opportunities and just kind of knew right away you were a voice that was relevant and needed to continue to be heard. So I'm excited to have the chance to dive right in today with some questions so that our audience can get a chance to hear from you as well.
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome. Wonderful. So, you know, I know you've sat on a lot of boards and you're still sitting on a lot of boards even now. What have you enjoyed most about playing that role in leadership? And, you know, what are some of your most fulfilling seasons as a board member?
Well, I think, one of the things that I've enjoyed most about my board service is using the experience I've gained, running a nonprofit, a large one, but with lots of small and fragile parts, which, you know, sometimes can simulate a small nonprofit organization. But using that experience to help nonprofits get their governance documents and governance structures modernized, helping them to think about succession for their board, you know, when it's time to grow the board, how should it be grown? What should we be looking for? How big's too big? How small is not big enough? Things like that. Succession planning, both for the board as well as for, you know, the professional staff, the leadership of the organization. And I've just really enjoyed trying to help the nonprofit boards I've been on, kind of check those boxes. It assures that you're getting as close as you can get to best practice, which really prepares you for future decisions without having to go back and reinvent the wheel, so to speak.
Well, and you know, I'll just say I appreciate your answer with that, Michael, because I mean the reality is I think a lot of people get into board leadership maybe because they have a heart for ministry, which I know you do. You have a heart for mission, but we need people that also care about governance and structure because that makes a difference long term for the health of an organization. So I think that's an important perspective.
Yeah, I think it is. Whether it's a hospital system or a representative board like the American Hospital Association, which I had the pleasure of serving on, which at a national level, or industry, or whether it's an arts organization or a faith-based organization, you know, that paying attention to that structure is important. And, you know, if I was the executive director or the president of a small nonprofit and you can't build out a staff the way you might like to, having people on the board that are, you know, committed to your mission, that understand what you're doing, can be that sounding board for you, can be a source of ideas and even sometimes help. So yeah, board presence and board structure and board commitment are very, very important regardless of the organization, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. I know for Silent Images, when people ask me, you know, how do you start a nonprofit and what are some things I've learned along the way? And the first thing I tell them is, the first thing you do is identify who are going to be your board members, and you find people that you trust who are going to push you, who are not just going to rubber stamp everything that you as the executive director or founder say, and they're critical. I'm curious from your standpoint, Michael, you've sat on a lot of boards and you've watched a lot of boards, some healthy, some maybe not so much, but what are two or three things that you would say are characteristics of a healthy board? What things should we be looking for that signal that this nonprofit is being led well?
A good signal for a healthy board is one that has a depth and breadth of talent. And that doesn't mean necessarily a lot of people. There are, you know, many people have multiple gifts, but to have a sort of a proper mix of that talent at the board level, and then adding to that sort of a mix of expertise and professional assistance and guidance, that sort of thing. I think the board needs to have a really good understanding of what the business is and what it is that you're trying to achieve, or what, you know, what is the mission? What are you trying to do? You don't want a bunch of board members who are just looking for something to put on their resume. You know, I served on this ministry board. There's responsibility that comes along with being a board member. It's a serious thing, and you need to make sure you've got people who are willing to give you their time and their talent and their treasures. I mean, a lot of nonprofits operate at least in part through fundraising, and a board ought to be there to help you with that too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the misconceptions about a board member is they're just, you know, people who have a lot of money and donate a lot to a nonprofit. And so they get a sit on a board. And I know personally for me, when I was, you know, selecting my board members from the beginning and continue to look for board members, it's actually people who in a lot of ways think differently than the executive director. They are not, Silent Images is a creative nonprofit, but our board is actually made up of very corporate thinkers, people who are more business minded. And so we kind of balance each other out. And so I'd be curious to hear, you know, what other misconceptions about board members? As, you know, if a listener is sitting there kind of thinking, should I be a board member? Am I the right personality? Talk about who, you know, who are the right people, and break down some of the misconceptions about board members.
I think one of the big misconceptions, and it has its basis in some truth, at least historically or at least early. A lot of times nonprofits get started because somebody has a passion about something and they tell their friends, and their friends have a passion about it, and they say, well, why don't you help me start this? And, you know, I'll run it and you be on my board, and, you know, we need to all pitch in and give enough money to get this thing going. And so sometimes it's people who are your friends and who can give money. And that's okay, because sometimes that's the only way to get something off the ground. But you need to pretty quickly start thinking about, all right, what's version 2.0? And 2.0 needs to be a pretty early release. And that's when you need to move into, you know, finding people that have not only the passion for whatever your mission is, and yes, that's fine if they can contribute. But a board member doesn't have to be rich to contribute. I mean, if they're willing to contribute something, and if that something is meaningful to them, it doesn't have to be, you know, a tenth of the budget. It can be whatever's meaningful to them. It just shows their level of commitment. And if your board's helping you with philanthropy, it's pretty important to be able to say, my board's in 100% giving. You know, or as a board member, if I'm talking to somebody about the potential to support an organization, that question comes with a lot more credibility if you can say, this is something that I've personally chosen not only to invest my time, but also my treasures. And so I give as well. It always, kind of sets a different tone. You don't want to brag about what you do give, but just letting people know that it's something that you believe in enough that you give. Otherwise, it's, do you have the time because the last thing an executive director or a president needs is somebody who says, yes, I'll be on the board, and then doesn't show up. And, you know, lots of people are very busy, and it's understandable, and they have to prioritize their personal life with their business life, and sometimes the not-for-profit board they joined takes a back seat. That ought to all be thought about up front to make sure that you have the time to serve and a willingness to serve.
I've also personally found it really helpful to have board members who are not afraid to speak honestly to me. And I know they love me and they love Silent Images, but they also have a personality of confidence and a personality that is not afraid of confrontation, of confronting me when I might have an idea that they think may not be the best choice for Silent Images. I mean, I call them our mission keepers. They keep us on mission. How important is that personality trait too to have on a board?
It's critical. I mean, you can't be thin-skinned if you want good board members. And a good board member is one who, if they see an issue, they point it out, and not to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that. But, we talked very early on about, trying to attract people that have a wide breadth of experience and talent. One person can't know everything. And if you surround yourself with people that have experience different from yours, you're going to get different learnings, right? And as long as the intent is to try to make sure that you reach the best decision possible for the organization, you're going to want to hear other ideas. Otherwise, you might as well just put on blinders and walk straight forward. And sometimes that gets people in trouble.
So I know I want to pivot here for a little bit, Michael. I know when we met a few years ago, we were just having this conversation about sustainability for nonprofits and just what are these missed opportunities. And what I remember most about that conversation is you really spoke a lot about the value of collaboration, and not just like it's a buzzword and everyone else is saying collaboration. You really unpacked that. And, I imagine that right now in this time of disruption that we're in, the potential need for collaboration is higher than ever. And I'd love for you to just unpack why that is. Why does collaboration matter? How does that help the nonprofit, link arms with perhaps what might be perceived as my competitor, but really helps me accomplish my mission?
Gosh, that's a question that could be answered from a lot of different perspectives. But I think if I recall correctly, what we were talking about was the need for nonprofits, especially small nonprofits that aren't, hugely sourced, to be able to take advantage of just like we talked a minute ago about paying attention to the different experiences of your board member, paying attention to their perspectives. Collaboration can be as simple as picking up the phone and calling somebody who does something similar to you. It may be a competitor. It may not. But even if it is, just calling them and say, hey, we're in this together. Here's what we're seeing. What are you seeing? Have you found a solution to X? How do you handle Y? I think it starts with a relationship. So it starts with a dialogue where you're not just calling somebody up and fishing for tidbits, but you call somebody up and say, hey, I think it'd be a good idea if we sat down to know each other a little bit. We're kind of in the same business. We're trying to serve the same people. It could start that way, sort of a mini affinity group, right? But it goes all the way to potentially, at some point in the future, a merger or a virtual merger where, and this is at the other end of the continuum, but, does each $300,000 nonprofit need their own accountant? Do each of them need their own in-house marketing person? Does each of them need their own fill in the blank? Or are there ways in which you could collaborate to figure out how to share some of the costs of doing business? Nobody wants to share their donor list, and that's understandable. But I've seen, in fact, I'm on a board and my wife Ann is on another board. These two boards don't compete. But they do outsource some fundraising help, and they outsource it to the same organization instead of having their own internal. Now, they have somebody inside that does donor relations, but in terms of the fundraising itself, they've outsourced it. And so she's working with these people through an organization she's on the board, and I'm working with them through an organization where I'm on the board, different organizations. there's all kinds of ways to think about collaboration, and it doesn't have to be handing over the keys, you know, to the shop.
So it sounds like collaboration can obviously be a stewardship issue of where you're able to manage your funds a little bit differently and steward your dollars more wisely so you're not having to replicate costs, but it's also stewarding your time. And when you work together with another organization and share ideas and things like that, I know you just gave a great example of the board that you're on and your wife is on. Is there any other example you've seen over the years that just really was encouraging and a win in the world of collaboration and nonprofits?
Yeah, one of the things that I've seen in the almost year and a half, it is a year and a half now that I've been with the foundation, is that periodically people, their leases expire or their building gets condemned or they outgrow their space or whatever. And I have seen in a couple of instances across the two Carolinas where nonprofits have come together to share space. It does a couple of things. The clients they serve, which are typically the lower socioeconomic level of our communities, those who I think are most in need, it does something kind of wonderful for them because this set of resources that they rely on, all of a sudden, they're in the same place. And one of them may be help with housing. One of them may be help with food insecurity. Another one may be help with job training so I can get temporary housing and, you know, get a better job so that I can get a better place to live or put a roof over my children's head. And all those things are in one place. It's kind of like a hub for these services. So that's another example that I have seen that I think works pretty well.
Yeah, and I would add, I mean, just from a personal standpoint at Silent Images, we're sitting in a space right now that we have partnered with for-profit businesses to share space and share internet and, smaller businesses who couldn't afford things to do on their own, and we couldn't either, and so we come together. So the collaboration isn't just nonprofit and nonprofit. It's also look for small businesses who actually have a lot of the same DNA as a nonprofit. Yeah, so as I think about boards and times of disruption, obviously our country is full of disruption on various levels right now, and board members are experts in a lot of ways, and one of the ways is just knowing how to love and serve their leader. My board has a way of knowing when to pat me on the back and encourage me and pray for me, and then also when to kind of stick their finger in my chest and correct me or kind of, you know, take Silent Images in a different direction and make sure that I'm on track. So they do a great job of leading leaders, and you have led a lot of leaders in our city at a variety of levels. What would you say to the leaders right now during this time of disruption? What do we need from our leaders, and what words would you have for them as they try to orient this time of disruption?
I think you hit one thing on the head. Leaders at the board level, understanding the business and staying engaged in the business enough. I don't mean crossing the line from governance to management. I mean interest in what's going on so that they know when somebody needs a pat on the back. You know, and right now with everything that's going on, there's a lot of pressure and there are a lot of distractions. And it's very easy to take your eye off the ball. I learned a lesson. My avocation is aviation. I started flying when I was a kid. And one of the things that a lesson that has stuck with me, it's been pounded into me by several of my favorite instructors over time and other people that I've flown with that I really respect, and that is keep flying the airplane. Because you can get distracted by all the things going on around, but if you stop flying the airplane to pay attention or too much attention to one of those other distractions, you know, the consequences can be a little bit disastrous. And so what I try to tell folks who are encountering these issues are, what is it you're here to do? That's the mission. That's the most important thing. Keep flying that airplane. Now, doesn't mean you don't look left or right and pay attention to some of these other things, but you can't let go of what it is the primary thing you're supposed to be doing. Make sure you've identified what's important. Look at it periodically, but don't get distracted from doing it. I think that's a good lesson in aviation. I think it's a good lesson in life. And in, whether it's a relationship at home or whether it's running a small nonprofit like we're talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, all that is gold. That's fantastic information for our listeners and for myself running a nonprofit. I'm curious, are there some kind of diagnostic questions you ask an executive director during this time? Are they more personal questions, which my board will ask me sometimes, like, hey, David, are you getting enough rest? David, what are you doing for yourself right now? Or I don't know, what are some of those questions that you might be asking an executive director during these times?
You know, what are the non-standard issues that you're dealing with? How are they affecting the business? How are they affecting you? You as a board member, if you model that caring element that we've been talking about, as the executive director, don't forget to turn around and model that for your employees as well. I just think it's the people that make the business. In business, you have lots of choices. I mean, I can buy the same thing from, I don't know, how many different places, right? If I find some place that treats their employees well and those employees are happy and the morale's good and they treat their customers well, guess where I'm going back? When I ran the hospital system, employee engagement, if you improved that, you improved physician satisfaction, you improved patient satisfaction, you improved productivity, you improved performance. If I'm happy going to work every day, if I like what I do, if I like the people I work with and I'm respected and treated well, guess what? I'm going to be a better employee. I'm going to work a little bit harder. Not intentionally. It's just that I'm, again, not distracted by these other things that creep in and rob you of things that are important. So asking those questions about, let's remember why we're here. What is it that we do? What's that thing? And keeping people focused on that, especially in a mission-driven organization. Let's remember why we're here. We're here to help these other people who are probably struggling a lot more than we are with all this business that's going on around us, right? That can do a lot to help people stay focused on the mission, but to remind them why they're there and the satisfaction they get out of being in a role where they're helping other people.
Well, and I think that's such an important word too. You know, right now you have a lot of leaders who are coming into work each day and they're tired and they're exhausted and then they're weary. And so, you know, they can't forget that they have a team all around them that are looking to them. And, you know, it's hard and it takes a lot from them. So I think those are pretty spot on words. So at the end of each of our podcasts, we like to end with kind of a quick fire. We call 3-2-1 just to get a little bit more info of personal information from you, maybe, or just some things that you would recommend to others in leadership positions. So the first is share with us three common mistakes that you would want nonprofits to avoid during a time of disruption.
Wow. I think we've talked about this a little bit, but not taking your eye off the ball. It's very easy to get distracted when there's a disruptive force around you. But you're there for a reason. Remember what that reason is. Secondly, don't forget to keep your board informed. They can help you. You're not in this alone. You have a board that hopefully, if you put it together well, cares about what you're doing and they want to help. So communicate with them and listen to what they have to say. Listen to their advice. And then finally, don't forget to communicate to the employees, because if they see you walking around with this desperate look on your face, you know, they're going to read that and they're going to worry. So if there's something to worry about, share it with them. Be honest with them. But don't forget, they're probably feeling the same things you are, and maybe a little more, because they don't know as much about it or how it's affecting the business as you do.
Well, and I know we touched on some of this earlier too, but name two things that every board of a small nonprofit should be doing right now.
And again, you know, this is redundant, but it's the theme is the same. Remember what it is you're doing. Remember why it is you're doing what you're doing and what it is you're supposed to be doing. Take stock of that don't be distracted from it. You know, if things are really critical, your board should be the first people to know, not the last.
Well, and our last question for you, we'd love to know, name a leader you admire and why.
Just one?
You can choose two if you want. We'll be flexible.
I'm going to give you a generic answer, and then I'll give you a specific answer. Okay, generic answer is all the people who feel called to do the things that we've been talking about. And they're not just at the executive director level. Those would be the leaders. But I think from a answering a calling to work in a nonprofit space, probably for less money, probably for less recognition, but to do it because you think it's the right thing to do and it's something that you feel called to do. Those people are my heroes. They don't get their name in the newspaper for doing something great. They just show up every day and do it because they're helping their fellow man. Those guys are my heroes. Leaders, I'm going to give you a local example because I think it'll resonate better than if I, picked some well-written author from halfway across the world. But I think Tony Marciano at Charlotte Rescue Mission, he's the president over there. He's been there through good times and bad times. He is always optimistic. He never gives up. He believes in what he's doing. He's definitely helping people pick themselves up by their bootstraps and get a new start on life, and passionate about what he does, knows how to share it. And, you know, we were talking about collaboration earlier. He absolutely will pick up the phone and call somebody if he thinks that he can learn something from them. And so I would have to say that he would be my pick for that question today.
Yeah, and that's a relevant pick. Tony has been one of our guests here on the Atlas Leadership Podcast, so we are also huge fans. Well, Michael, this has been a joy to have you on. I know that our audience is in a better place as leaders. I know me personally, as a leader of a nonprofit, feel like I gained tons of wisdom and insight, and we just really appreciate you taking a few moments with us.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, Michael, it was great to reconnect with you. I know we've just touched base over the years and have seen you continue to pour into other leaders in our community, and excited to hear about your new position over at the Leon Levine Foundation. Is there any information you wanted to share with the audience about your work there, or if they wanted to get in contact with you through that organization?
Yeah, the Leon Levine Foundation supports healthcare, education, human services, Jewish values, and to a certain extent, community. We're active in the two Carolinas. You can learn more about us by going to our website, www.leonlevinefoundation.org. You know, we work with a lot of different nonprofits. It's interesting that when I came to work here, I knew about the work of the Levine Foundation because you've seen their names on many buildings all around town, and you think, gosh, what generous people. But when you kind of take a look at everything else they're doing, those things become dwarfed. It is an amazing organization that does a lot of good work.
Well, I think you, Michael, just from obviously even looking at your resume that we introduced earlier, you have left some great fingerprints on our community. And I'm certain even nationally too, just with your work with so many different foundations and boards. And just thank you for your time and your willingness to share with us today. And it was great to reconnect with you.
Well, it's good to spend some time with you all too. I appreciate the opportunity to share some thoughts with you. I wish you the best.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.